AFL Bowen Region General Manager Ed Wilson's been good enough to join us here in the van. He's bolted across from Bell Park, driven safely from High Sushi Oval to join us because it's been a big week where it became known that there is a 12th mystery club. So the first question I'm going to ask is it, Ed, who is it? Come on, Ed, cough it up.
It is the greatest question. I was at Bell Park on the way down here and I got asked three times by people there in the crowd. So I was there for a total of an hour and it's the hottest topic around town at the moment. But we're going through that process at the moment. Commission is reviewing both applications. So Surf Coast Football Netball Club have been very open in terms of their application and desire to be within the Bellarine Football Netball League in 2025. The 12th club at the moment, we're reviewing their application in full. And there's got to be a conversation that needs to be had from that club with their league board before they would then move forward and announce that publicly.
Okay. We're of the understanding that it is not a GDFNL club because they've been asked by their executive to put their hand up and say, are you in or are you out? And my understanding is during the week, every club said, we're staying. Is that your understanding?
So our understanding is that meeting absolutely took place, definitely. From our end, the club that has applied, and they've just come from a different league than the Bellarine or the Geelong, they've asked very much for us to review their application in full first, give them the opportunity to speak to the league board about the matter before they then announce it publicly.
We can rule out Lawn. They've publicly said no. So are you guys happy to say it's not Lawn as well?
No, it's not Lawn. And I think for Lawn, it's fantastic that they're looking at what their future looks like. They have a considerable amount of their players that actually come from Torquay. They do training nights on Tuesdays in Torquay and they are exceptionally well attended. But it's good that they're looking at what their future is and how they grow, but also how they sustain in their seaside community. But no, not Lawn.
Right. You've got us racking our brain, and I'm guessing probably you like the theatre a little bit too, that it's got people talking. I want to talk about Surf Coast though. Are you mindful of not setting them up to fail? So this year they enter an under-18 team for the first time. Let's look at the football section. It's ended up in Division 4. They're all bottom age. Common sense tells me that let those kids play their top age under 18 year and then give them a senior football club to flow into 2026. Is that coming into your thinking about their entry point and also that it's at the back end of this two-year cycle that's taking place with the club championship points?
Yeah, absolutely. There's three perspectives that are really important here. So the first one is if you look at their football program, you know, 18s for the very first time, we don't want this club to set up for fail. Yes, from a netball standpoint, they've been turning away top age 19 and under players since before COVID. So it talks about how far advanced their netball program has been compared to their football program, but we are football netball clubs, so they need to be both cohesively set up ready to go when they move into the senior ranks. The second perspective, as you've hinted there, Kingy, the note that we're in the first of a two-year upward and downward movement cycle at the moment is a very big consideration. But the third thing as well is the consideration of the league in which they're entering as well. So if you are going to bring a new club in or have a movement of any sort, it has to be done in a measured manner. The club has been wanting to become a senior club for quite some time. If 2025 is what is deemed to be appropriate from the commission standpoint, it'll be absolutely terrific for the club. If it means making a decision to wait for one additional year, considering how long they've been waiting for, but if that's for the betterment of the competition and the club, then that would be the best way forward.
There's new clubs coming in, Surf Coast, Armstrong Creek, with obviously at some stage we'll have, you know, football at whatever level. Is there too many clubs in the region?
It's a great question. So being out at Leopold and Grovedale as well today, got asked the question as well of, you know, what do you reckon? How many clubs do we need within our region to sustain? And I think it's a really telling point where we haven't had a new club at a senior level in our region for over 30 years. And that itself, it says a big thing. I think as well, if you look at the way that our clubs are situated geographically as well, we currently sit here this afternoon in St Albans, what we'd call the East Geelong pocket. Being up at Bell Park earlier today, there's an inner North Geelong pocket of clubs. So it's for the clubs themselves, it's a really interesting time as we move forward in the coming decade or two as to how they attract new players, where their membership bases come from, rather than being, say, a couple of kilometres around where their club rooms are, but actually spanning out to some of the growth corridors we're seeing at the moment. And some of our clubs do it extremely well already, and we want to support some others with that because we think that's a great way to sustain yourself into the future.
And that's the question, I suppose. You know, you look at the shift in generations and population. The North is obviously the area that's the most difficult at the moment. You know, North Shore are struggling in terms of players from both netball and football. Cry have struggled. Lara are okay at the moment because they've got a sort of newer population, but then you come back in. What's the league's or the commission's view on how you're going to help them?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question, because we can't just look at population numbers and go, ah, bang, you'll be all right. There'll be teams that will come through, all that will flow through. We've got to look at different demographic data to be able to really understand. If we look at that North Geelong pocket, where North Shore, Cryo, North Geelong, Bell Post Hill, and even Lara, a number of those clubs are based today, we do see a higher percentage of languages other than English spoken at home. We're also seeing the highest percentage in the whole Barwon region of parents born overseas. So you think intrinsically of what sports people are growing up with. They're not growing up with football. They're not growing up with netball. We have a really good relationship with Northern Bay College. And at that school of 2,500 students, the two most popular sports are volleyball and badminton.
Oh, wow.
So they're not growing up with sports that we intrinsically sit here today and love and spectate and support and commentate on a weekly basis. So compare that to 30 years ago, where the demographics were very different within that region, where football and netball had a greater presence. It was a very different approach. And that's what something we've got to keep very mindful of, is you can't apply the same plan to everywhere within the region. We essentially are having sub-regional strategic plans across the place, and North Geelong's one of them.
I grew up in Cryo. Football was the only other thing apart from cricket. Footy in summer and winter, you had your two sports. From my understanding, I think football in that survey of schools in the northern region, I think footy come in at number 7. Would that be was that about right?
That's a high result as well for some of the schools there as well. And that's, you know, we want to see the sports of football and netball thrive everywhere within the Barwon region, but we can't have a blanket approach as to how that transpires. And, you know, it's a great example. We go back 30 years ago, and it's a very different landscape, but what we've got to do as a governing body is support our clubs to make sure that they're sustainable, and it's done so in a manner where there is actually a future for them that caters for what their backyard looks like.
So is it the responsibility of clubs to get involved in the schools? Per se?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So from a AFL, so from a football standpoint, AFL Victoria put significant investment in for anyone under the age of 12. So there's driven through what they call their participation team. So that activates in schools, but that's done in partnership with the governing body of the region, so AFL Barwon. From a netball standpoint, there is a similar relationship between Netball Victoria and us as AFL Barwon, but we do find ourselves as regional body driving more of that. So for us, though, we can't sit back and expect someone else to do it, or the clubs to do it, because it ends up impacting the competitions that we're then administering from a 12 plus traditionally, but we've got competitions down to 8 plus these days as well. So we've got to take an invested interest in what the future looks like, but it is certainly more than just us doing it.
Birchie?
Ed, just from a female football perspective, I see that the three grades have been established for the women's competition, AFL Barwon, and the healthy numbers, I think it was 6, 7, 6 and 7 as well in terms of the teams. But I did notice there was a big blowout last night in one of the games in Division 1. You know, it's always going to be really hard to get it exactly right, and obviously you take the club's preference on board as well as to where they want to be placed. But once the grading's done, you know, I suppose it's pretty much set. That's where teams are, and you hope that there's other teams that can sort of compete, you know, with each other within those divisions.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really good point you share about, from a grading perspective, you've got to land the team somewhere. And, you know, for 1,200 football and netball teams we have across our region every year, over 1,000 of them are part of graded competitions. So you do have to draw the line somewhere. And there's a lot of considerations that go into it. We do get club feedback. We look at performance data. We look at team list compositions in terms of tenure of players as well as age of players. And we're really fortunate in terms of where women and girls football sits in the region at the moment. We're state leading. We're 9% up year on year, year to date at the moment. So that's looking really positive. But that's not to take away that it's not always competitive for everyone, and we've got to be able to support, especially in that senior female football space where there is quite a disparity we do see in terms of tenures of players. We've got some in Division 1 who've been playing for many years. We've got some in Division 3. It's the first time they've kicked a footy. So we've got to be able to continue to support and find that middle ground. But grading is definitely a very difficult exercise, because you've got to draw the line somewhere. But once the grades have been announced for this year, which they have, they're locked in.
Finals. When are we going to know venues?
Good question. So we're aiming at the moment by early June to have that all locked in. So the wheels have started turning internally. Clubs will actually receive a correspondence this week of May 13 that essentially invites for an expression of interest to be put forward. And we're actually opening it up in the sense of keeping it really open as to what clubs want to look like. I sat in a Bellarine clubs meeting on the 22nd of April, and there was an appetite from a few Bellarine clubs to play one of or multiple of the grand final week, of the finals weeks, actually at a GFNL ground. So you know, we want to keep that very open, understand where clubs sit, but also see who's interested in hosting our marquee events. But
we know Leopold are keen to host the game.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, absolutely. And they came up in that meeting on April 22. So it will definitely be very much a process that we go through every year that is quite competitive, but with the best interest of supporting clubs, but also delivering really good final series. But early June will be the decision.
Okay. Give us a time frame. How's this all going to unfold? So, firstly, I suppose, are you keeping the club a mystery, I suppose, out of respect for them and the current competition they play in?
Yeah, that is correct.
Is the current competition they play in aware of their interest?
No, not at the moment. Not to our extent, because they've explicitly requested to us, following the review of our application, if they can then speak to the board first before we make it publicly. Yep. And we want to respect that. The move of any club between one league or another is a lot, and it's something that has to be dealt with a grave amount of respect as well. So we'll go back to them with some feedback once the application's finished being reviewed by the commission, and then when we're in a position to make that announcement, we will.
When will we know?
It's a good question. So you've got great questions today, Kingy. I knew I'd be coming in here. It's about 15 degrees cooler inside the truck as well than it is outside. So it's actually not hotter in here despite the question. It's actually quite cold.
A bit longer, Red Bull.
Yes, you'll warm it up. Yeah, dial it up, Kingy. So Tuesday morning, I'm a part of a meeting with the commission Tuesday coming, so May 14, part of a meeting with the commission where they'll finalise their review of the applications, and then there's every intention following that meeting then to be able to provide an update to that club, and then to be able to then get to a point where we can publicly announce this, because a big consideration in all of this is actually the Bellarine clubs as well. And we've been very open in wanting them to be part of the consultation as well, but also respect the club who submitted their application.
Right, what if the Bellarine clubs say, no, we're happy as a 10-team competition, we like our competition, we play everybody twice, we get our bye in May, we get our bye in July, and that's why we want it. What happens then?
Yeah, on April 22, when we had that club meeting with the Bellarine representatives, it was president, secretaries and a number of representatives who were there that evening, they were very open in sharing their views with us. Some want to stay as the 10. They see that in an 18-round season, perfect, everyone plays each other twice. But there was also a level of understanding as well that come from the Bellarine clubs, that we've got two other major leagues that sit within the Bellarine and Geelong that both have 12 clubs. So when it comes to a region-first approach, there's something that has to change, and we've got to be able to provide Surf Coast an opportunity and a pathway to become to a senior level. So their understanding of that, and they're also willing to be a part of the process, which is fantastic. If you had a group of clubs who weren't wanting to participate, we would have a challenging situation, but that's what we want to do, is work through it with them so that they understand what it looks like.
All right, is anybody any last questions for Ed before we let him go? Because we'd love to stand
here. I was going to say, time was getting away from us a little bit.
All of a sudden, we're 78-36 in the end. West defeated St Albans in the reserves, but we're about 8 minutes away from bounce. Anything else for speak now or forever hold your peace in the K-Rock commentary team?
Hey, you've done well. Look, you can get away now. It's all right.
He's dodged a few bullets.
I'll step out of the truck to warm up. So,
Ed, thanks for joining us. We really do appreciate it. Giving up your time, firstly, because we know you've come across from Bell Park. What does the rest of today look like?
Yeah, good question. Heading down to which you'll see next, actually. They're playing Belmont today, so I'm trying to get around to a few fixtures today. Bellarine clubs have got a bye.
I reckon it's cold also here. Wait till you get down there.
I actually have to put a jacket on down there. So, it'll be a really good day. It's a terrific time of year for community football and netball, and it's an absolute privilege being in my position where you're able to have conversations with people like yourselves who are so passionate about it. And yeah, it's a true honour being in the position, but there's a lot happening at the moment, there's no doubt about it, but all for good reason.
We've got a big week coming up. We look forward to see how it unfolds. Thanks for joining us.
Your pleasure. Thank you all.
Ed Wilson joining us here, AFL Barn Region General Manager.